The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Trailing 21-10, entering the fourth quarter. Jay Cutler engineers two touchdown drives and closes out the clock in the final 6:38, and the Bears knock off the Cincinnati Bengals at Soldier Field 24-21, a great way to start the season. So welcome into Bears Coaches Show tonight on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. We're with Bears head coach Mark Trestman. Jeff Joniak here with you until 7:30 tonight. Coming up a bit later on the program, we'll talk with tight ends coach Andy Bischoff. But first of all, congratulations and welcome back into the program. How was the day after the win over Cincinnati?
Well, we got up early. We broke our game down from yesterday, and we've met with the team, and we've moved on to Minnesota.
That quick. Unfortunately, for purposes of this show, we're going to have to talk about the Bengals for another 30 minutes or so. I hope you're okay with that. So let's dig in, because it was a talented team that the Bengals faced, and a talented team you faced in the Cincinnati Bengals. And I've often found that week ones are overemphasized because it's so glaring. It's the buildup. It's the one game. And fans, media, and maybe even teams get too high or too low based on what happens in a game. I don't know how you look at it, but that seems to be the case in the NFL.
Yeah, we didn't put any higher rating on this game than we will do on any games. We wanted to prepare us, you know, as diligently as we could, and respect our opponent. We knew we were up against a great opponent, one with great talent, a team that had been together for a while, had been together offensively and defensively, and was great on special teams. So they got our attention right away when we started in on them, and the guys focused through the week preparing, getting themselves mentally, emotionally ready to play.
Jay Cutler's second half and the offense's second half in general really was the pinning of the needle, so to speak. A 111 quarterback rating in the second half, 3 of 3 throwing on third downs. He picked up big ones of 30, 38, and 11 yards. And just everything seemed to fall into place, from the rhythm to the tempo and to chewing the clock in that second half. What was the key?
Well, first of all, one of the keys was the defense gave us the ball back, gave the offense the ball back, particularly in the fourth quarter. Our defense was 4 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, and gave the offense opportunities to make plays. And at the end of the day, it wasn't the play calling. It was the players who made the play and plays. And our guys made some plays. We got some man-to-man coverage. And on a 3rd and 3, we were able to get the ball to Brandon on a big play. And on another occasion, Jay scrambled. And another occasion, he scrambled again and hit Matt Forte along the sidelines on a broken play. So, you know, Jay made some outstanding plays, no doubt about it. The guys gave him time to make the throws up front. He was pretty much uninhibited the entire day in terms of ability to complete a throwing motion. That bodes well for a quarterback at the end of the day.
Yeah, clean pocket, as you'd like to say. Pressure maybe early on that first drive of the game. He was hit once, I think, by 97. Geno Atkins, that was the guy you focused on. It was a very impressive front, obviously, but that's the guy who could cause a lot of trouble and wreck a game plan for you. But other than that, there were some close calls, but that's going to happen. But he had enough time to get rid of that football in time for people to get open.
Yeah, the first breakdown was one of our young guys just missing the type of front it was in. We had chances. We had on that particular play, we had Elshon wide open on a play against man-to-man coverage, which was what we expected, and we couldn't get the ball to him. And another time we had a drop. But for the most part, the guys really did a great job up front, allowing Jay to do his job.
I thought, from watching it again just a little while ago, that the physicality of that front is something that the teams are going to have to be reckoned with. And as it grows, you see Matt Slauson just throwing guys around, Kyle Long, obviously, and Jordan Mills held his own against two long defensive ends. They come in waves at you, obviously, but the length combined with the inside game of Pecco and also with 97, Atkins, really a tough thing to block down in and down out through the course of a game.
Yeah, well, we didn't do much running the football. We gave Matt the ball 19 times, and we got, not enough, to make 3 yards a carry. We know we've got a lot of work to do, but at the end of the day, we took care of the football for the most part. We protected our quarterback. We ran the ball enough to wear on their defensive front a little bit. But the guys came in today, and you know, we made a lot of corrections. We got a lot of things to clean up. We're not gonna get ahead of ourselves, sir. We got a long season to go, and we got to get better as a football team, and certainly as an offense.
When you looked at it again and you went over those corrections, would you agree that there were a few of those runs that were close to going? They were popping.
Not enough. I didn't see enough explosive plays in our run game, and I think that's relevant too. It's something we have to do. You know, we've got a very good back in Matt, and if we can cover him up, you know, he's got a chance to make a play. We didn't get that done yesterday, but the guys hung in there. You know, we didn't stop playing. We played physically for four quarters, talking offensive line, certainly the whole team, but in this case, the offensive line. And, you know, and Mike came in there late with 6 minutes left, and Michael Bush came in there, yeah, and we pounded the ball.
He's the closer.
And boy, we love that, the way he was hitting the line of scrimmage and the way our guys kept their feet running, and we made some yards and were able to sustain a drive.
Sunday's game against the Vikings brought to you by Cancer Treatment Centers of America. The first 40,000 fans entering Soldier Field receive a classic 1960s throwback pennant. The Bears thank Cancer Treatment Centers of America for their support as a game entitlement partner. We're on the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman at 6:36 here on News Radio 780 WBBM. Let's talk about the defense, because they did take it away nearly four times. Tim Jennings and Charles Tillman played like Pro Bowl corners in terms of taking the ball away yesterday.
Yeah, they were awesome. I mean, they made the plays. We got a couple of good rushes on both interceptions, but you know, our guys ran to the ball, and we certainly didn't play as well as we would expect to play. And that's a little bit about what the first game is all about. They haven't played a full game. They didn't play a lot during the preseason. There's things they know they can improve. I think Lance, you know, he went through the whole litany right after the game. He knew exactly, you know, what had to be done. And we had to get off the field on third down, and we didn't do it early in the game. We were able to stop the run, which was good. We didn't tackle as well as we can, but we did get some turnovers. And when you're plus two at the end of the night, you're going to win about 80% of the games. And when you play, you know, unselfishly, and you play with discipline like our guys did on three sides of the ball, which is a credit to them and their football intelligence to play smart, you're always going to give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter, and we did.
You started with Charles specifically on A.J. Green, and I don't care how old you are or how experienced you are, that man is a handful to tackle all over the field. But then you throw in the fact he had some 70 yards in returns. Did that tucker him out a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I can't say. I just know that, you know, he played as hard as he could play, and he was a difference maker in the game. And you know, without those plays, we're not sitting here today feeling the way we are.
All right, it's 6:38.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Snap to Jay, play fake to Forte, throwing, corner out, left side, end zone! Touchdown, Brandon Marshall! Touchdown, Bears! The Bears have taken the lead with under 8 minutes to play in the game.
And a big catch in the fourth quarter as Brandon Marshall on that corner route caps his eighth 100-yard day as a Bear, 27th in his career, and the Bears 5-3 when Marshall hits the century mark. That's the Bears Play of the Week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. At 6:42, welcome back into the Bears Coaches Show at Hallis Hall, the radio studios here with head coach Mark Trestman. I'm Jeff Joniak, and Cutler had a hang in the pocket on that one. He had plenty of time. I mean, he had a nice pocket, but you talked about that yesterday and today at the news conference. Time to get those receivers open, and on that route, he cut off the safety, and a perfect throw and a heck of a catch.
It was beautifully blocked by our offensive line. Certainly, he had plenty of time to set his feet and throw. There was nobody around him when he made the throw, and he made a throw that not many guys can make. Put a ball on a line like that and get it over there that as quickly as he did to Brandon. Brandon made a nice catch.
And the key on those out routes too, those corner routes, is the velocity on the ball's got to be good. You can't slow it down at all. Somebody could break on it and take it the other way.
Yeah, they all come out differently, but that was the right throw in the right place at the right time.
And you indicated, I believe, he audibled quite a bit yesterday out of some plays.
Yeah, he did. We give him, you know, sometimes we give him two plays. Sometimes he's got three options at the line of scrimmage, and we try to give him enough time at the line to do that and to call a play that gives us the best chance to succeed. He did a very good job, and the line did a great job of managing it all, you know, from Roberto Garza across the board. Just a great job up front of making changes, making different line calls that were necessary to accomplish the protection first and then the play.
Was that line, in addition to their individual talents and collectively how impressive they are, how did your guys handle their stunts and games, in your opinion?
Well, I thought we did a very good job. There was, you know, we passed things off, we picked things up, our backs scanned, did some good things along the way. Matt picked a couple of guys off that were the free rushers along the way. And overall, there's things we certainly corrected today that we can get better at. It wasn't perfect. It was things that do come up in the first game, but I think the guys will, get their rest and come in on Wednesday and be ready to restart again and get better.
Two things you also discuss at length, and one is today was pad level. I'm assuming on both sides of the ball.
Yes.
And it may have made a difference in some of those blocks because your tight ends, obviously, are going to be asked to block a lot. And those were challenging blocks.
They were. I mean, we talk about it all the time is, to win a game, you got to win the line of scrimmage. And we didn't win the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball, really, in the first half. And Mel came in Mel Tucker came in and got the defense to try to get their pads down. Aaron did the same thing offensively to just try to play lower. And in the first game, that's always one of the hardest things to do is to play low. And
why is that?
I just think it's you're carrying your pads in a game for the number of reps and time you're playing, which is different than a preseason game where you're only getting a minimum amount or half a game of reps. So, I think that's just part of playing football at game speed when the lights go on in September. And we were a little bit slow to get started, but we tended to speed it up as the game went on.
You hate to simplify it this way, but a couple of takeaways and a little clock management and control in the fourth quarter, and bam, you win a football game. Obviously, there's more to it than that, but you mentioned about fourth quarter is the magic quarter in the National Football League, and the stats prove it. I just read this today. Nearly 65% of the games a year ago were within one score in the fourth quarter. And that's really all you can ask for week to week if you have a chance to get over the hump in the fourth.
Yeah, and usually, what we talk about is if we play smart, if we play with some sense of discipline and we take care of the football, if we're 3.5 quarters, we're probably still going to be in the game and have a chance to win at the end. And in the National Football League, really, everything's equal. And those types of things really make a difference. Playing smart, winning the turnover battle, those are two huge ones. And winning the line of scrimmage certainly is a big part of that as well.
Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare. Sundays at 10:30 a.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network at 6:46 here on the Bears Coaches Show on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. 23 touches, 91 total yards for Matt Forte. We already touched on it in the 54 snaps he had in the game. Is that about the touch total that you're looking at?
We never really talk about balance, and we never really talk about who's going to touch the football. I think it's really about what we're trying to do is to try to create opportunity for everybody. And sometimes guys get more than others over the course of the season. We think it's going to equal out. But, being able to run the ball 19 times and 25 times in a game is, even if you don't hit the numbers you want, has a tendency to be a good thing, as it relates to final scores. And the big thing was we took care of the ball. Our runners and our catchers took care of the football, and that was big. And if I didn't say it, I think one of the biggest factors in the game were the fans. They were huge. They were huge at the end of the second quarter, and they were huge at the end of the game. And that was a big difference maker for us. I think the added value of the noise when our defense was on the field was huge.
And there is a responsibility as a home team, too, because if you let that crowd out of the game, a team come. It was 21-10 at some point.
Yeah.
It didn't feel great at that point in the building anyway, so you got to get them back.
Yeah, you just all we can do is – go on to the next play and handling adversity and the inevitability of adversity is what football is all about. It's going to happen during the course of the game, on that play, in that quarter, in that half, and you just got to keep playing. It is a 60-minute game. It's not a 30-minute game, and you just got to encourage your guys to keep playing and not look back and make the most out of the next play. And if you do that and you take care of the football and you play efficiently at the quarterback position, you got a chance to be there in the end.
It is time for WBBM.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Snap, Dalton play fake, gonna throw, working over the middle, and it is intercepted by Tillman. Off the hands of Green, up with it at the 15, the 20, running right to the 30, breaks a tackle. A block from DJ Williams to the 40, spins out of another one to midfield, breaks another tackle. Eifert brings him down in Bengals territory at the 43-yard line. Up Cincinnati.
All right, that'll put a smile on your face. That was fun right there at 6:53. And welcome back in to the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman. That was the second of two Charles Tillman interceptions. He nearly took one to the house down by contact on the what was that, the third play of the game, Mark, or the second play of the game? Third play of the game, I think. But that run back, I mean, these guys know how to score the ball, and they do everything in their power to do it. And then when they get the blockers intrigued as well, and they are all a part of it. They are invested on returns, whether it be special teams or defense. They just know what to do. They get up and they start blocking people.
Yeah, they've in training camp we would just shake our heads. We would think we were taking care of the ball, and all of a sudden it'd be out. And anybody who came out to training camp saw that it was unbelievable to see it. And it's a real skill that these guys have developed over the years, and they get excited. It's part of what they do, and a very prideful part of their football.
And not everybody runs it back as serious as they do either.
No,
that was a serious play right there.
Sure,
were you going nuts on the sidelines watching that?
I can't say
internally.
I was going nuts, but
you were on to the next play, right?
But I was certainly excited to see him have that kind of success, no doubt about it.
This is a fair question. So you are calling plays. You're thinking as a head coach, what's next? But do you allow yourself to soak in the moment at the? Do you watch the play? Are you on to getting ready for the next?
I really don't spend too much time on that. On try to stay invested in my job, which is to get ready for what's next when something's going on.
Are you doing it halfway through the run?
I don't know that. I'm certainly happy to see. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I know.
My heart's pumping, no doubt about it.
Listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Sports Authority, Friday, September 13th, 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, 654, here with Bears head coach Mark Trestman. Let's start talking about the Minnesota Vikings. They played the Detroit Lions yesterday. Detroit did a number on Adrian Peterson after his first carry, 78-yard touchdown on some great moves that we've become very familiar with a 2,000-yard back a season ago. The next 17 carries, 15 yards. What did you see on tape on how they rallied to stop Adrian Peterson yesterday?
We really haven't seen much yet.
Okay.
You know, we just got started this afternoon after the players left and really kind of invested into their defense for the first part of the day and just talking to the guys about their front. How fast they are. They've got a unit that's been together a long time. They've got some very good players and Jared Allen and Williams and Greenway, just really getting into it initially. I mean, I've been watching the Vikings for years and, they've got great speed on defense and they've got a back who's maybe like no other or one of few have ever played the game. And because of that, we've got to be able to tackle this week better than we did this past week. And we got to have our pads down and do those kinds of things, certainly to defend him. And, as soon as we get up there, they're going to take their shots, and we're going to have to go out and, play one-on-one football as well. That's just the nature of, what happens when you play Adrian Peterson. And he's a difference maker like not many difference makers who have played the game.
Yeah, just when you think you got him stopped, it only takes one. And he's gone.
Yeah, and a credit to Detroit. I haven't seen the game yet, haven't seen the full game yet, but at the end of the day, they must have done a heck of a job. They didn't stop at first, but they did slow them down.
It is 6:56 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. He doesn't have his fullback that he was very successful with a year ago, at least for the first three games of the season, in Jerome Felton. So it's a different look to it. But he had 6.9 yards of carry with the fullback on the field, Felton in particular, last year. 4.6 without him. There was a time when I had read that he didn't care for having a two-back backfield, but clearly it's making a difference. I don't know if you know why or what do you think of that?
I don't have an opinion. I happen to have, been around Barry Sanders back in 97, and he went from being a one-back runner to a two-back runner, and the great runners really can handle everything. What got Minnesota in trouble yesterday was their turnovers. They turned the ball over two or three times, and that really inhibited their ability to stay on the field and allow him to have more opportunities to carry the football.
You study quarterbacks. What have you seen from Christian Ponder in his career, both in college and in the NFL? What do you think of him?
I haven't seen enough of him to really critique him, quite frankly. He's been a guy who's been around for a number of wins in the last year, and I really don't know enough about him to really, fairly critique him.
All right, Mark, well, we're going to let you go. I know you grew up in Minnesota, so you saw a lot of purple, and you were a fan of them growing up. Now you got to beat them.
you know, they're the next in line, and that's all we're trying to do this week is get better and get ready to line up on Sunday and be the best team we can be.
Congratulations
again. Thanks a lot.
Your team's win as the Bears go to start the season 1-0 after the win over the Cincinnati Bengals. Coming up next, we'll be joined by tight ends coach Andy Bischoff. We'll hear more of Coach Trestman near the end of tonight's show near on the 7:25 time slot as we get you set for Bears and Vikings right here. First, a check of
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman, and this hour featuring tight ends coach Andy Bischoff, brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Second and 5 of the 8-yard line, takes the shotgun snap, pocket holds, throwing back of the end zone, up in the air. Catch is made. Is it good for a touchdown? It is. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Martellus Bennett hangs on. What a tough catch that was.
They had a great throw from Jay Cutler. Martellus Bennett's first Bears catch, a big one, a difficult touchdown catch with free safety George Iuka draped all over him as the Bears jump out in front of the Bengals, ultimately winning the game 24-21. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show. Here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall, it's 7:04. Glad you're with us tonight. We'll be with you until 7:30 tonight. And pleased to be joined now by Bears tight ends coach Andy Bischoff. Welcome and congratulations on that win and a heck of a catch by Mr. Bennett on that one, huh?
Absolutely. He prides himself on being a big target when we get to the red zone, and he certainly took advantage of that moment and hands catch, two guys around him. And really great concentration to finish the play.
Right, and you can see it on tape when you watch it, and even breaking it down on the TV version as well. And I joked with him. He was doing the news conference thing today with the Chicago media, entertaining them as always, as you know.
No doubt.
And I stopped him in the hallway. I said, you know, you could just see your head is like, you got guys draped all over you, there's hands all over, and you're just, your head is not moving. It's fixated on that ball all the way down to the ground. So that's what you have to do in that. There's not a lot of real estate. He's at the end line, and he went up and got it in traffic, and a very tough catch. But as Mark mentioned earlier today, somewhat routine for the red zone in the NFL.
That's right. I mean, as the way the route worked out, they covered it very well, but it became a jump ball situation. And we even talked in our meeting today, it became YMCA football. And it becomes Jay and Martellus making a play, and Jay put it in the right spot, and Martellus had the strong hands to finish it. So a nice job.
And a rally because of the first snap drop. He credited it to nerves, said he thought he could go 80 yards and probably was thinking about it instead of just reacting to the ball and catching it.
Yeah, you know, we talked on his headsets shortly after that, and he just said a little jittery, excited, the moment. You know, it means a lot to him. You see that every day in the way he comes to work. And he wants to take the most advantage of every moment. And our guys are looking around and they know that we're sharing the football. And that's a good thing offensively. But when they get their hands on the ball, they certainly want to take advantage of it.
And it's always a credit when a quarterback doesn't give up on somebody right away, you know, because, hey, it's somewhat like a corner on an island. If a quarterback doesn't trust a guy, you know, he could easily be forgotten.
Oh, so. No doubt. And I think Martellus and Jay, really since the moment he walked in the building here, have built a great connection. And he sits right behind him in the meetings. He's whispering to him all the time.
Who sits behind who?
Well, Jay's in the front.
Okay.
The quarterbacks are in the front. And that's kind of a standard. And Martellus made the tight ends the second group and right away. And he's whispering, and he's always talking football. It's never something silly. It's always about, did I do this right, or do you want me to do this differently? And he's checking in with them. And Mark really talks to all the receivers about when you have a specialty route like that, the minute the route's over, come on back, check with Jay, check with Josh, make sure it's what they want, because there is a certain amount of artistry that comes with red zone football and a lot of different specialty routes.
So. Well, everything's got to be, even though it's physically and down in and down out, not possible, but it has to be almost perfection, because that ball can easily be picked if it's not thrown to the right spot. It could be deflected, ricocheted. There's a lot of bodies in a short area. Is that what you're driving at?
No doubt. And the level of error, you know, the margin for error is so small, and everyone is reacting with so much speed, and it's such a fast game, and you can't take anything for granted. So we try to make sure every detail matters, and those guys certainly worked on that play for a number of reps as we've been, you know, in the 6 months we've been here.
We're with Bears tight ends coach Andy Bischoff. The first year coaching staff gets their first win, a win over the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday at Soldier Field. All around effort from every phase of the Bears as they knock down the victory at 7-8. Let's.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Jay Cutler, second half, a 111-plus quarterback rating, couple of touchdown passes, and as Mark Trestman said earlier today, at least three plays that if he didn't make, the Bears don't win the game. Jay Cutler, our player of the game, brought to you by Tempur-Pedic. Remaining moments of our show, wrapping up at 7:30 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM with the tight ends coach Andy Bischoff. A little sneak peek at the Vikes. I don't know how much time you've had to take a look at them, but we certainly know some of the principles. We'll start because it's the offensive side of the ball here, but Kevin Williams could be back for them, but you know, you got to block Jared Allen. That's what it comes down to.
Oh, absolutely. When you think about the strength of their defense, it really starts at the end position, you know, and the veteran play of Kevin if he's back. You know, Greenway always going to be a part of it. You know, at the safety position, the draft pick from a year ago.
And Harrison Smith has really turned. They drafted him, you know, fairly high. It's a first day pick in the old traditional draft anyway. But he was right at the top of the list in tackles yesterday and had a pick.
Right, and had his hands on a couple others. You know, he's always around the ball. You know, I think 9 returning starters, you know, is what we're looking at. The guys that aren't returning starters have been with them, and then some very good rookie talent. You know, with Floyd inside and Rhodes at the corner. And so, you know, we're heavily into them.
Do you feel Xavier Rhodes held his own against Calvin?
You know, we feel like he's a physical guy that comes after people. I mean, I think part of what happened there is just the focus of the game plan and Reggie Bush's impact on their offense. You know, Rhodes has been a nice addition for them. I think there's no doubt he's a guy that was drafted to look at this division and say, how can I do with Calvin and Brandon and whomever else is lining up?
All right, like Mark Trestman, you are from Minnesota, is that correct?
Absolutely.
So you're up just liking the Vikings. We're not going to say love, right? Because there's no love for the Vikings.
Yeah. No, you know, in this profession, you learn a long time ago that your hometown team
is your hometown team.
We certainly love the Bears, and we love being here, and that's where our focus is.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, Jeff. Bears appreciate having you.
Thank you. Bears tight ends coach Andy Bischoff. Now, earlier tonight, Coach Trestman, take a look at what happened yesterday as the Bears get that final touchdown on Brandon Marshall's catch on throw from Jay Cutler.
It was beautifully blocked by our offensive line. Certainly, he had plenty of time to set his feet and throw. There was nobody around him when he made the throw, and he made a throw that not many guys can make, put a ball on a line like that and get it over there that as quickly as he did to Brandon. Brandon made a nice catch.
And the key on those out routes, too, those corner routes, is the velocity on the ball's got to be good. You can't slow it down at all. Somebody could break on it and take it the other way.
Yeah, they all come out differently, but that was the right throw in the right place at the right time.
And you indicated, I believe, he audibled quite a bit yesterday out of some plays.
Yeah, he did. We give him, you know, sometimes we give him 2 plays. Sometimes he's got 3 options at the line of scrimmage, and we try to give him enough time at the line to do that and to call a play that gives us the best chance to succeed. He did a very good job, and the line did a great job of managing it all, you know, from Roberto Garza across the board. Just a great job up front of making changes, making different line calls that were necessary to accomplish the protection first and then the play.
Was that line, in addition to their individual talents and collectively how impressive they are, how did your guys handle their stunts and games, in your opinion?
Well, I thought we did a very good job. There was, you know, we passed things off, we picked things up, our backs scanned, did some good things along the way. Matt picked a couple of guys off that were the free rushers along the way. And overall, there's things we certainly corrected today that we can get better at. It wasn't perfect. It was things that do come up in the first game, but I think the guys will, you know, get their rest and come in on Wednesday and be ready to restart again and get better.
2 things you also discuss at length, and one is today was pad level.
I'm assuming on both sides of the ball.
Yes.
And it may have made a difference in some of those blocks because your tight ends, obviously, are going to be asked to block a lot. And those were challenging blocks.
They were. I mean, we talk about it all the time is, you know, to win a game, you got to win the line of scrimmage. And we didn't win the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball, really, in the first half. And Mel came in and Mel Tucker came in and got the defense to try to get their pads down. Aaron did the same thing offensively to just try to play lower. And in the first game, that's always one of the hardest things to do is to play low. And
why is that?
I just think it's you're carrying your pads in a game for the number of reps and time you're playing, which is different than a preseason game where you're only getting a minimum amount or half a game of reps. So, I think that's just part of playing football at game speed when the lights go on in September. And we were a little bit slow to get started, but we tended to speed it up as the game went on.
You hate to simplify it this way, but a couple of takeaways and a little clock management and control in the fourth quarter, and bam, you win a football game. Obviously, there's more to it than that, but you mentioned about fourth quarter is the magic quarter in the National Football League, and the stats prove it. I just read this today. Nearly 65% of the games a year ago were within one score in the fourth quarter. And that's really all you can ask for week to week if you have a chance to get over the hump in the fourth.
Yeah, and usually, you know, what we talk about is if we play smart, if we play with some sense of discipline and we take care of the football for 3.5 quarters, we're probably still going to be in the game and have a chance to win at the end. And in the National Football League, really, everything's equal. And those types of things really make a difference, you know, playing smart, you know, winning the turnover battle. Those are two, you know, those are two huge ones, and winning the line of scrimmage certainly is a big part of that as well.
23 touches, 91 total yards for Matt Forte. We already touched on it in the 54 snaps he had in the game. Is that about the touch total that you're looking at?
You know, we never really talk about balance, and we never really talk about who's going to touch the football. I think it's really about what we're trying to do is to try to create opportunity for everybody, and sometimes guys get more than others. Over the course of the season, we think it's going to equal out. But, you know, being able to run the ball 19 times and 25 times in a game is, even if you don't hit the numbers you want, has a tendency to be a good thing, you know, as it relates to final scores.
And that's Bears head coach Mark Trestman tonight on the Bears Coaches Show. Today, the Bears did make another roster move as expected. Jonathan Scott, the veteran tackle who had some knee issues during the course of the preseason, back with the Bears as they have released Kyle Adams for the second time in a week. Kyle did get 11 snaps on offense yesterday in the Bears' three tight end sets and did play special teams as well. And now Dante Rosario, as you heard from Coach Bischoff, gets a little more used to the offense every day, understanding small pieces of it anyway, and we'll see if the Bears will go with that type of package again on Sunday when they meet the Minnesota Vikings at Soldier Field. That's going to wrap up tonight's show. Bears countdown to kickoff begins at 9 a.m. at Soldier Field with Tom Thayer and myself and Ron, Jim, and Jay. Kickoff at noon against the Vikings, losers to the Lions yesterday. Thanks to Bears Broadcasting Executive Producer Greg Miller, radio producer Andy Gersher, and our studio producer today, Steve Grzanich. For head coach Mark Trestman, tight end coach Andy Bischoff, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for joining us on the Bears Coaches Show on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Good night, everybody.